What if kittens played the glockenspiel? And what if unicorns were real? What if you could fly or travel back in time? We welcome you to What If World. What if world? This is What If World.
Hey there, folks, and welcome back to What If World, the show where your questions and ideas inspire off-the-cuff stories. I'm Mr. Rarick, your host, and today we're starting off with an email question from a patron named Lucia. Lucia asked, what if there was a pirate that didn't like treasure and instead hunted vegetables? And Lucia wanted to add that she likes Brussels sprouts. Oh, lovely! I've had them twice this week. And I didn't even know what they were as a kid, but now I am a huge Brussels sprout fan. Thank you, Lucia, for your question and for your patience. Now, we have a related email question from a listener named Vaughn. And Vaughn asked, what if there was a pirate that uses banana weapons? Perfect, because, you know, I'm not big on violence, but a squishy banana? Mwah! Chef's kiss, as Miss Lynn would say. And I have one more bit of fun news about today's story. I've got a lot of awesome writer friends, and this story, answering your questions, was written by one of my best friends, Kevin Swanstrom. So I hope you enjoy it. And without further ado, let's find out, what if there was a pirate that uses banana weapons, and what if there was a pirate that didn't like treasure and instead hunted for vegetables? Your story starts after a quick break. It was another day on the high seas in the pirate universe, where Petey the pirate was taking an adventure vacation now that the whirlpool was open to all. He was standing in the crow's nest of Petrina the pirate's ship. He'd finally learned to embrace his new look and was letting his freshly shaved bald head glisten in the sunshine, white and pasty with sticky sunscreen. Yarr! What a beautiful day in the Seaborhood. From up here, I can view as far as the eye can see. Me sights as keen as a hawk's. I'm a fine-tuned instrument of awareness. Not a single thing could possibly surprise me. At that very moment, without any warning, a banana boomeranged into the crow's nest, narrowly missing Petey's head. Yarr, what a surprise! I stand corrected. The banana continued to arc around Petey, spinning back the way it came and disappearing over the edge of the ship. Not a moment later, a loud thud rocked the whole ship. Petey leaned over the crow's nest to see a floating head of purple cabbage, and a voice bellowed out.
Lower the gangplank, my boys.
A large stalk of celery rose up from the purple cabbage ship and plopped against the railing like a bridge. With nimbleness and speed, a green-hued swashbuckler charged up the celery stalk gangplank and leapt onto Petrina's ship, firmly planting his feet on the deck. Yarr! Another surprise. I'm really dropping the ball on this not being surprised thing. Petey grabbed the alarm bell and rang it with all his might, warning his fellow crewmates. All hands on deck! We got marauders! He grabbed a rope and slid down to the deck below. Hoo-ha! Ooh, hot hands! It was then that Petey noticed this swashbuckler had a head unlike any he'd seen before. It was a huge piece of broccoli! And right behind him, wobbling up the celery stalk, was an ear of corn with two muscle-bound arms and a peg leg. Petrina's crew gathered on deck just in time to see the broccoli-headed pirate unsheathe a skinny banana rapier from its peel and swish it through the air. The corn cob likewise withdrew his curved banana saber. Petey stood tall against the marauders and said, Who do you think ye are, boarding the dread Petrina's ship unannounced, and brandishing your weapons no less? With a flourish, the broccoli bowed and replied,
Forgive my bold entrance, friends. I am Broccolander, cruciferous son of the Vitamin C's, gentleman pirate and Earl of Cucumberland, and this buccaneer of corn is my first mate.
Broccolander motioned to his corn companion, who bared his kernel teeth in a fearsome grimace.
I be Cobby, the rudest, roughest, toughest stomach vegetable pirate you've ever had the misfortune to come across.
I actually find corn to be pretty delicious and easy to eat as far as vegetables go.
You eat vegetables?
You monster.
Well, yes, but not when they have arms and legs and talk to me, I don't. Petey tried to explain, but it was too late.
You scallywag. I ought to slather you in butter and roast you in an oven at 350 degrees, then sprinkle you with some sea salt and maybe some delicious paprika and see how you feel.
Now, now, Broccolander interjected. It was an honest mistake. I can sense that these pirates maybe have different customs than we do, which is perfectly all right. They are human, after all. And to be fair, we did board their pirate ship in a rather aggressive manner.
I won't disagree on the aggressive part. Did one of you chuck a banana at me head?
Did you say shuck a banana? Is that some kind of corn slander?
No, you misunderstand. I said chuck it with the cha. I meant no disrespect.
Good, because the last scoundrel who tried to shuck Cobby's husk was a no-good mango, and he wound up a ghost pirate.
You sent him to Davy Jones' locker?
No. He retired and moved to a ghost pirate community in the Fluoride Keys. But before he left, Cobby sent him off with the firmest noogie any pirate has ever received. His rind was severely bruised.
Well, we don't really condone violence on this ship, but that's besides the point. That banana nearly took me head off.
Ah, yes, my banana ring. You may have felt its swift wind tickle your ears. Be thankful you didn't feel the brunt of its full squishy force.
Broccolander spoke with a twinkle in his eye as he plucked his banana ring from his belt and held it aloft.
But fear not, we come not to harm you.
Petrina stepped forward from the galley and addressed the marauders.
Well, then, why have you boarded our vessel in such a rambunctious fashion? You still haven't told us.
She looked to the rest of her crew, who nodded and murmured with concern.
Isn't it plain to see, good sirs and madams? I've come to spread the word of a new form of treasure, more precious than any gold or jewel.
Is it a faster ship?
Petrina asked.
A new type of spice?
Potty chimed in from the back of the crowd.
A worse, ephemeral type of ghost pirate money? Or cryptocurrency, as it were?
Petey offered.
No, no, my friends. It's none of those.
Oh, good. That would have been horrible.
What I speak of is so decadent, so luxurious, so priceless. Its worth is without compare. I speak, of course, of the mighty vegetable.
But aren't you a vegetable?
Yes, I thought we covered that pretty extensively.
So you're a vegetable that seeks other vegetables to keep as bounty?
What could be a better bounty? I couldn't think of a single thing.
Yeah, I could. A treasure. Treasure would make a better treasure.
No, no, no. Forget galleons. Switch to alliums. Gone are the days of hunting for doubloons. Instead, hunt for mushrooms. Forget gold leaf. Turn to leafy greens. A vegetable pirate is the way to be.
Said Petrina.
An interesting and obviously well-rehearsed pitch. Vegetable pirates we will be.
Oh, but Petrina, we're treasure hunters. How can you give up gold? It's so shiny.
I'm sorry, Petey. I've made up my mind. Brock, lead the way. You can even be captain for a while if you want. I've got to take the Cathoctopus for a long walk. He gets cranky and starts eating ships if I don't.
Mummy, walkie, please.
You can't be serious, Petrina. You can't leave him in charge. You don't even know these banana-wielding bandits.
Fear not, fair Petey. It's time to turn a new leaf. A spinach leaf, that is.
I suppose I'll have to get used to these vegetable puns. But I don't have to like them.
Then it's settled. We're all going and we all like it.
Set a course to Giant Poison Ice Spider Island, dear Cobby. Untold riches await us. Giant Poison Ice Spider what now?
But it was too late for Petey to object. It was already the next day. Wait, how is it the next day? I'm not in charge of the time of the pirate universe, Petey. I couldn't tell you.
You take one trip through the whirlpool for a little adventure and suddenly
it was already the next day, and the ship had navigated through sheets of jagged iceberg lettuce and reached its destination. Giant Poison Ice Spider Island. They set anchor off its sandy shores. Brock Olander led Petey, Cobby, and the rest of Patrina's crew through thickets of jungle, following a treasure map carved into a giant icicle. The icicle grew smaller and smaller the longer they stayed out in the hot jungle, the path to the treasure becoming less clear as the map dripped away.
I'm sort of surprised the map isn't also printed on a vegetable.
Don't be absurd. The map isn't printed on the icicle either. The icicle is the map.
But I thought Mr. Eric said...
What does Mr. Eric know about where we're going?
Well, that's actually pretty true, but still, ouch.
No, see, this icicle was stolen from the ice caverns of Giant Poison Ice Spider Island and kept in pristine condition until it was traded to me. Once the icicle melts here on this island, wherever it melts, the caverns will appear.
Then we've been working around for hours through this treacherous jungle. What, we could have been standing perfectly still on the beach, drinking out of pineapples?
Trust me, this is far quicker. Besides, my boy, movement generates heat. The faster we move, the quicker it'll melt. And once we're inside those caverns, a treasure like you've never seen awaits us.
That does sound enticing.
Oh, it will be. It will be. Now, don't dilly-dally. Let's put some pepper in our steppers and get this baby melted.
After a few more hours of traipsing and trudging through the jungle, the icicle had melted completely. Sure enough, a freezing cold entrance appeared before their eyes, burrowing deep into the rock face, leading to an entire system of ice caves. Petey was in awe as they stepped inside.
Yeah, I admit it, you were right. I've never seen a map quite like that before. Now where to?
Now we go until we find the titular giant poison ice spider.
Yeah, of course we go until we find the... Wait, we want to find the ice spider?
That's correct. And defeat it. How else do you think we're going to find the treasure? The spider is hoarding it after all.
Hurr,
said Cobby with a smirk.
It's like Petey's never hunted for treasure before, boss.
That's where you're wrong, Cobby. I hunt treasure with the best of them. Red stash, black stash, blue stash, no stash, double stash, cursed Carl, you name it. I could best them, just you watch. I'll lure that spider out here with me mighty pirate yodel.
Petey unleashed a powerful yodel from deep inside his belly.
Yardily, hee, yardily, hee, yardily, hee.
The sound carried down into the depths of the caves, reverberating against the frozen walls, and was answered by a low rumbling, which grew louder as the walls, the ceiling, the whole cave shook mightily.
I don't like this one bit,
cried Potty, as the rest of Petrina's crew cowered at the sound. Cobby withdrew his banana saber, and Petey stood tall, readying himself for what was to come. Bursting from the ceiling, landing in front of them just as promised, was a giant icy blue spider, its eyes swirling like clouds of green poisonous gas.
Yikes,
screamed Potty, but Petey didn't flinch. Instead, he noticed several treasure chests come tumbling out of the giant hole in the ceiling the spider had just made. He also noticed something about the spider. Sure, it was big, which could definitely be scary for some folks, but the way the spider looked at them wasn't like it wanted to hurt them or eat them. It was something far friendlier.
Am I mad? Or does this big blue laddie look like he just wants to play with us?
You're mad, all right,
grumbled Cobby, waving his banana saber.
The only playing this spider wants to do is with us as its dinner.
We must conquer the beast to get the treasure. It's the only way, cried Captain Brock.
But look at the way he's wiggling his tush. It's like he's wagging his spider tail.
Sure enough, the giant spider was wiggling his big blue abdomen back and forth and panting almost like a puppy would.
I've got an idea. Quick, Brockolander, throw your bananarang deep into the cave. The rest of ye, while the spider distracted, grab the treasure chests and we'll hightail it out of here.
A preposterous hypothesis.
Let's try it. Brock withdrew his bananarang and waved it in the air until he'd gotten the giant poison ice spider's attention.
Oh, I like that giant yellow stick. Will you give it to me, please?
Oh, now this makes sense.
Fetch, boy, fetch!
I'm a good giant poison ice spider. Please throw the stick!
He flung the banana ring with all his might, spinning it deep into the cave. Happily, almost slobbering, the ice spider bound after it.
Yay! I will get it and love it and eat it and hug it and slobber it and poop it and eat it again and love it forever!
Let's pretend we didn't hear that last part.
Agreed.
Eeyore.
Now grab the treasure!
The distraction worked. Petey led the rest of the pirates as they took the treasure chest and scampered out of the caves. Back on the safety of the sandy beach, Petey, Brock, Cobby, and all the others gathered around their booty.
Woohoo, Eeyore! What a thrill!
Now to take stock of our plunder!
Trust me, my boy. You won't be disappointed.
Petey waited with bated breath as Brock unlatched the first chest to reveal that it was full of snow peas.
Ha! Snow peas! Yarr!
I know. Aren't they glorious? We must have a dozen chests here, all brimming with snow peas.
And that's what we did all this for? Snow peas?
What else did you think we'd get from an ice cave?
Well, what do you, do with them?
Why, keep them, of course.
Keep them? That's all? What's the fun in that?
It's what you do with gold or silver anyway.
Look, I hate to be a drag, but I tried your way. And while I had fun getting the treasure, the result is, well, it's just not the same. I think I prefer real gold over Yukon gold. It's a type of potato.
Well, don't fret. It'll grow on you. For tomorrow, we're off to find more.
More?
That's right. We're searching for the fabled bok choy of the Chasm of Doom.
If it's all the same, I think I'll stay on the ship for that one.
Nonsense. You just have to stick with it. Hunting for vegetables starts slow, but trust me, after a few good seasons, it gets really good.
A few seasons? I don't have time to wait around for that.
You'll come along for the bok choy, and you'll like it.
Cobby stepped up into Petey's face, narrowing his eyes and grimacing. Before things could get any more heated, thankfully, Petrina swung down from the ship and plopped onto the beach at Petey's side.
Now, that's not a very nice way to talk to someone, is it? I don't think Petey'll be joining you on the hunt tomorrow. In fact, none of me crew will.
Brockolander stomped his tiny green shoes in the sand.
But you told me I was in charge.
My cathoctopus finished their walk early.
A crab pinched my bottom, and I got scared.
You're a cephalopod. You don't have a bottom.
My top's my bottom.
Right.
A crabby bit my toppy bottom, mummy.
Oh, for pirate's sake, where were we? Ah, yes. Now I'm taking me crew back, please and thank ye.
But I don't understand.
Well, you see, a cephalopod's digestive tract.
No, not that part. Vegetables are clearly the superior treasure.
To you they be, and that's wonderful. But that doesn't mean we can force others to like it too. In fact, it's okay that we don't like the same things. It keeps life interesting.
Differences are the spice of life. Potty chimed in from the back.
I still like veggies for eating, of course, the non-sentient kind. I just prefer me pirate spoils to not, well, spoil.
Fine. If it is your wish to live in mediocrity and hunt for lame little trinkets and baubles, then Cobby and I will take our snow peas and leave.
That's right.
Brock and Cobby stomped over to the treasure chest full of snow peas and dragged it over the sand toward the water.
Well, we can still give you a hand lugging your booty onto your cabbage boat if you want.
That's quite all right. We know where we stand.
Now there's no need to be stubborn. Let us help you, lads.
Well, fine. That would be nice.
You heard the man. He's accepted our peas offering. Grab a veggie chest and step to it.
Aye, aye,
aye, aye, Captain.
What do you say to snow pea soup tonight?
I say, snow thanks.
The end.
Lucia and Vaughn, thank you so much for your questions, and I hope you all enjoyed your story. Have you ever tried so hard to get someone to like the same things as you, but it just didn't pan out? If you got to explore the seas of Pirate Universe, what kind of treasure would you want to find? Gold? Vegetables? Dinosaur bones? New lands? New people? New creatures? New ideas? Try drawing a treasure map of your own little archipelago with different treasures hidden on each island and see which islands your friends and family would like to explore. I'd like to thank Karen O'Keefe, my co-creator, my producer, Miss Lynn, Kevin Swanstrom, who wrote this episode, Craig Martinson for our theme song, and all you kids at home who know it's great to try new things. You might find you like them, and you might find that you don't. But either way, you learn something about yourself. And until we meet again, keep wondering.
Programming is made possible by the Renaissance Foundation, committed to a unique scholarship program for high-achieving, first-in-family college students with financial need. The Renaissance Scholars Program provides renewable financial support for up to 1,000 students each year. To learn more, you can visit trfwebsite.org.